If you were to ask me what I thought would seal the deal in terms of how close we are to the end, these two realities would have to be my answer. What I'm speaking of is the simultaneous successful destruction of America from within in concert with the unsuccessful destruction of Israel from without. It's important that we understand, and you won't hear this in the media, how that Islam deems the United States the great Satan and Israel the little Satan. And as such, both America and Israel must go. You know, as far back as even 10 years ago, an irrelevant United States was virtually inconceivable. Would you agree? Yet, within just the last 5 years, maybe 6 years, it's gone from being inconceivable to now being inevitable. The handwriting's on the wall. Moreover, as far back as 10 years ago, Israel seemingly had allies. Would you believe the nation of Turkey? And at least, though waning, they had the United States. Yet now, it's abundantly clear that Israel is standing alone. Now, I don't want to connect too many dots here, but could it be that Genesis 12, 2 and 3 still applies to America today? Those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. Is it possible that you could connect the dots of the demise of the United States of America with the removing of America's support of Israel? The U.S. and Israel, again, simultaneously have moved the needle of Bible prophecy to full, such that Scripture is about to be fulfilled. You'll forgive the play on words. Seemingly, with a click of a mouse, or if you prefer, the stroke of a pen, both the United States and Israel have been perfectly postured prophetically. More specifically, the posture of the U.S. is that of being decreased, and the posture of Israel is that of being increased on the gauge of the world stage. Here's how I get there. The U.S. is as insolvent in poverty as Israel is solvent in prosperity. And both the profound absence of America and the pronounced presence of Israel must happen simultaneously for the end to come. Let me explain. If the U.S. was still the world's superpower, and for who knows how much longer, the U.S. dollar was still the world's currency, and Israel still had at least one ally, then the end is not yet come. Here's why. While there's no mention of the U.S. as a superpower in the world, there's all the attention on Israel, the sole focal point, as the obsession of the world. And again, it's in concert one with the other, simultaneously so. They're both playing out perfectly as Bible prophecy says they will. And it's happening right before our very eyes. Now, with the presupposition that the demise of America is a foregone conclusion, and I believe it is. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how soon and how bad. I know that sounds doom and gloom, but think of it this way. I think for many of us, God is loosening our grip on this world and this once great country so as to firm our grip on eternity. I've had the experience in my life, I've been walking with the Lord for over 30 years, where in order to get, because I tend to dig my roots down so deep, in order to get me, and I'm stubborn, I know that none of you know what that is, and that's foreign to you, okay? But I'm so stubborn and obstinate and thick-headed and stiff-necked, and so in order for God to get me to move from point A to point B, He notices that I'm too comfortable in point A, and it's been said that God comforts the afflicted, but He'll afflict the comfortable too. I've got the scars to prove it. But with the presupposition that the demise of America is a foregone conclusion, I want to rewind the DVD and draw your attention to what happened back on Tuesday, October 1st. Well, what happened on that day? Well, it just so happened to be the last day of and the last speaker at, I don't know if that was intentional, the UN General Assembly here in the U.S. in which the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, spoke. Not only was it unprecedented in the sense that he was the last speaker on the last day, but it's what he said as the last speaker on the last day. I would venture to say it was prophetic that he would speak on the last day, because he spoke about the last days. I don't know how many of you read the speech or saw it on video, on YouTube. Anybody? It's okay, you can raise your hand. 2, 3, bless you. 5, 6, and I hear 7. Going once. Oh my goodness. I hope you'll indulge me for just a bit as I quote Netanyahu, and in so doing, correlate key components of what I believe was the most profound and prophetic speech ever delivered at the United Nations. Pardon me. I want to connect the dots from his speech to Bible prophecy. Joel Rosenberg, I'm in good company, by the way. Joel Rosenberg, who knows Netanyahu personally, was his campaign manager. Of course, he lost, and so Joel, you know, when he was his campaign manager. But Joel Rosenberg, here's what he said. It was a fascinating speech, and at times quite personal, but the Prime Minister concluded his address with a sentence I have never heard coming from the lips of an Israeli leader in the modern era. You know what he said? Quote, "In our time, the biblical prophecies are being realized." It's like in his speech to the UN on the last day, about the last days, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gave everybody a prophecy update. And he did. And you'll see why here in just a moment. Here are some excerpts from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech, and I'm going to correspond the prophecies from the pages of Scripture. Quoting Netanyahu, "We are an ancient people. We date back nearly 4,000 years to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have journeyed through time, and we reestablished our sovereign state in our ancestral homeland, the land of Israel." This is Ezekiel 37. The dead bones prophecy. I watched I don't know how many of you watched this on the History Channel. I shouldn't have watched it before I went to bed. It was called The Nazi Gospels. 2-hour documentary on the satanic origin of the SS. It was incredible. And of course, graphic footage. And I don't recommend it for the faint of heart, but the dead bones of 6 million Jews, a prophecy found in Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel writes, verse 12, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your Holocaust graves, if I might add, and cause you to come up from your Holocaust graves and bring you into the land of Israel." Yeah, okay. What makes this prophecy so profound is that it's a marker by which we can know how close His return is. Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter, by way of a parable, verses 32 through 36, said, "Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree." The fig tree, the symbol of Israel, like the eagle for the U.S. "As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near." What? "My return, the end of the age. Right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation..." Excuse me? "Yes, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." In other words, the generation that is alive to witness the prophecy of Ezekiel's dead bones being brought back to life, life being brought back to the bones, like the leaf being brought back to the tree, so too will be the people brought back to the land, never to be uprooted again. I'm not mad. I'm actually getting ahead of myself. The generation that's alive that witnesses this will be the generation that witnesses the coming of the Son of Man. You betcha. You betcha. Quoting Netanyahu again, "Today, our hope for the future is challenged by a nuclear-armed Iran that seeks our destruction. But I want you to know, that wasn't always the case. Some 2,500... That's what I love about Netanyahu. He's giving them an education. You might say he's schooling them, and they need to be schooled. I want you to know that wasn't always the case. Some 2,500 years ago, the great Persian king Cyrus ended the Babylonian exile of the Jewish people. He issued a famous edict in which he proclaimed the right of the Jews to return to the land of Israel and rebuild the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. That's a Persian decree, an Iranian decree, modern day. And thus began an historic friendship between the Jews and the Persians, a.k.a. Iranians, that lasted until modern times." Now, he's quoting the fulfilled prophecy of Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. "Who says of Cyrus, he was an Iranian slash Persian king. He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid." In Isaiah 45, verse 13, "I have raised him up," speaking of Cyrus, "in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts." Quoting Netanyahu again, in 1979, a radical regime in Tehran tried to stamp out that friendship. As it was busy crushing the Iranian people's hope for democracy, it always led wild chants of "death to the Jews." I know some in the international community think I'm exaggerating this threat. Sure, they know that Iran's regime leads these chants, "death to America, death to Israel," that it pledges to wipe Israel off the map, but they think that this is just wild rhetoric or bluster for domestic consumption. Have these people learned nothing from history? Apparently not. which is why he has to give them a history lesson. He goes on to say, ladies and gentlemen, Israel, I love this, Israel will never acquiesce to nuclear arms in the hands of a rogue regime that repeatedly promises to wipe us off the map. He's quoting Psalm 83, particularly verse 4. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. He's quoting Ezekiel 38 that lists Persia, Iran by name in verse 5. Lastly, quoting Netanyahu, this is the best for last too. In our time, the biblical prophecies are being realized. As the prophet Amos said, they shall rebuild ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. They shall till gardens and eat their fruit. And I will plant them upon their soil. Listen, never, never to be uprooted again. And then he quotes it in Hebrew, which is the most beautiful of languages, similar to Arabic, but Arabic's rough, you know, mean, it sounds harsh, and Hebrew just is so cool, man. I wish I could speak Hebrew. And listen to what he says lastly, and it was met by this astounding applause. He says, ladies and gentlemen, the people of Israel have come home never to be uprooted again. Translated, don't even think about it. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the international community is more afraid of Israel than Israel should ever be afraid of the international community. Why do you think there's wars and threats of wars? This is really a quote of both fulfilled and about to be fulfilled prophecies in Scripture. Again, it's Amos chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. He quotes it verbatim. I won't take the time to read it. The prophet says, I'm going to bring back my exiled people to Israel. And they're going to rebuild their cities. They're going to plant vineyards. They're going to drink their wine. They're going to make their gardens. They're going to eat their fruit. And I'm going to put them back. I'm going to plant them. That's more established. I'm not just going to place them. I'm going to dig it up and plant them there so that their roots are deep in there where they belong and they'll never be uprooted again. And interesting, Amos records the land I have given them. Translated, I didn't give it to you. I gave it to Israel, my people, thus says the Lord.